Luke chapter 19, and we will read verses 1 through 10 together. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into the sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor if I have defrauded anyone of anything. I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Let's pray together. Father, I pray as we consider these verses of Scripture and maybe some others this morning that you would help us to understand what it is you're doing in our lives and how you desire us to live differently than the rest of the world. We thank you for the transformation that you can make in each and every one of us to make that so. We ask you to do it, and we thank you for it. Through Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. So I want to talk with you for just a few moments this morning and kind of introduce maybe what we'll talk about next Sunday. But I want to talk to you for just a few moments about being different as a Christian. Becky and I have been watching over the last several years, as probably many of you have as well. There's a video series on the life of Christ that is out called The Chosen. And it's a retelling of the story of the life of Jesus through the imagination of a director by the name of Dallas Jenkins. And we've enjoyed watching the various episodes over the last couple of years. I was reminded of one not too long ago, of the episode in the first chapter where Jesus calls Matthew to be his disciple. And Jesus has already called Peter and James and John, and they're walking together through the community. And he sees Matthew sitting in the tax collector's box. And he turns and he smiles at Matthew. And he says to Matthew, "Follow me." I love the character of Peter, the way that he's done in this particular series, because it's very much like the Peter that you read about in the Bible. He's always got something to say. Always got a question, always got a comment, always, you don't wonder what's on Peter's mind. Right or wrong, he lets you know, because he doesn't mind speaking up. So when Jesus turns to Matthew, the tax collector, and he says, "Follow me," Peter in the story speaks up and he says, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa." He says, do you know what this man has done? Do you even know who he is?" And Jesus, still looking at Matthew, he says, "Yes. Yes. Oh, by the way, he knows who you are, and he knows what you've done. In fact, he knows what you were doing last night." It'll get real for some of you in a minute. But he has all of these questions for Jesus. He can't believe he's called a man like Matthew. And Matthew comes out of the booth and he begins to follow Jesus. And Peter goes, "I can't believe it." Jesus turns to him and he says, you couldn't believe it when I called you either. And Peter, in his self-righteous way, looks at Jesus and he says, yeah, but this is different. And Jesus looks back at Peter and he says, get used to different. Things are going to be different now. I think if there's one word that would describe Jesus and the way that he lived his life, the things that he taught, everything that he did, I think that word would be different. Different. Jesus was different than anything they had seen before, anyone they had heard before. Everything about him was completely different. Jesus was fearless where the rulers of the Jews were concerned. They despised him. Jesus was not fearful about confronting them in the issues of their life and the mistakes that they were making and the misunderstanding of God. And he didn't mind calling them out publicly when they tried to contest him about the things that he was doing and the things that he was saying. Understand this, though. When Jesus calls these men out, he calls them out because he loves them. Jesus loved the Pharisees. For all of the problem that they were, for all of the sins that they had, for everything, every mistake that they made, Jesus loved the Pharisees. And Jesus wanted the Pharisees to know who he was. He wanted the Pharisees to know the truth. He wanted the Pharisees to follow him too. Some of them did. Some of them did. Jesus showed them a different way of life. He did things differently. He was kind and gentle to the lowly and the hurting and the down and out. He was merciful to sinners. He was a servant to those in need. He was loving to all. Even though he is the Son of God, he had no problem kneeling down and washing the feet of his own disciples. This man was different. Altogether holy and righteous, fully human, and yet without sin. Jesus was different. And Jesus wants you and me to be different too. My goal this week and next and forever, how long it takes, my goal is that when we live life day to day, and we face certain circumstances, have problems that we go through. My goal is that when those things come our way, we would begin to learn to look at them in a different way. And rather than seeing, for example, problems to complain about, see those difficulties as opportunities to speak up for the Lord. To be different. To consider a different perspective on the way that we live our lives. This is what Jesus wants. He wants to change and transform all of our lives so that we are like him. So that we're different from the world that we live in. So that we're different from the people we used to be before we came to know Christ. Jesus wants us to be different. One of my favorite little nuggets that I heard from the Christmas story many, many years ago from a preacher friend of mine. It's a story about the wise men, and we all know the story of the wise men and how they came looking for the Christ child, King Herod was also looking for the Christ child in order to kill him and all of these kinds of things, and how they brought their gifts to Jesus and all of these kinds of things. And there's a verse of scripture at the end of the story of the visit of the Magi. It says that they became aware of what Herod was up to and what he wanted to do to Jesus. See, they were supposed to go back and report to Herod. But rather than doing that, because they were on to him and knew what he wanted to do, the scripture says that when they left and went home, and most translations will say something like, they went home by a different route. And that's exactly what it means. But this preacher pointed out that in the King James Bible, it says it a little differently. And it says it like this. It says that when they left, they went back home another way. Now, the meaning is still the same, but I think there's something spiritual in that. They went back home another way. In other words, when they went home, they weren't the same people that they were when they came. They were different. And they went home another way. A different people. Because see, brother and sister, that's what happens when you have a true encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you have a true encounter with Jesus, Jesus changes your life. And you become a different person. And you leave a different way. That's what this story of Luke, in Luke's gospel of Zacchaeus is all about. Look at it with me again and let's see what we can learn from this story of a man whose life was transformed so that when Jesus left him, he was a different person than when he met Jesus in the beginning. We can actually learn a lot about Zacchaeus just in verses 1 and 2. Jesus is traveling into Jericho. By the way, this tells us that Jesus, at this point in Jesus' life and ministry, he is heading for Jerusalem. He's close. He's real close to Jerusalem. And this is the last time he'll go there. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to give his life for the sins of the world. And you have to know this weighs heavy on his heart. It weighs heavy on his life. One of the things that I appreciate about the Chosen videos and this series is that I want to say this just right. It really focuses on the humanity of Jesus. Okay? Jesus was a person, was a human being, was a man just like us, yet without sin. And he experienced all of the emotions that we go through and all the pains and all the hurts and all the things that we experience in life. Jesus experienced all of these things in various circumstances himself. And so you can imagine as Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, knowing why he's going, knowing what's going to happen to him there, knowing what they're going to do to him, you got to know that his mind is just filled with the thoughts of what's about to happen. It's almost consuming. In fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus, on the night when he's arrested, that he's actually arrested right after he's been praying to the Father, and he says, "Father, if there is any other way to accomplish your purpose other than what you've called me to do, the pain and suffering that I'm going to have to go through," Jesus said, "if there's any other way, let's go the other way. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he surrenders himself to the Lord. Surrenders himself to God's plan. So we know that this is weighing on him and this is heavy upon him. And yet as he's approaching Jerusalem, as he passes through Jericho, even then, his mind is on the needs of the people that he's seeing. When you look at the end of chapter 18 here, you see the miracle of the healing of Bartimaeus, the man born blind. And Jesus stops when he calls out for him. And Jesus heals this man, and he too becomes a follower of the Lord Jesus. And now he's coming through Jericho, and he comes to another man who's going to call out to him. And we learn a little bit about Zacchaeus just in verse 2 there, when it tells us he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Tax collectors, throughout human history, I guess, have always had a bad reputation. It's why when a political party decides they're going to hire dozens and dozens new IRS agents, America stiffens up a little bit and cringes at what might happen. Tax collectors always have that kind of reputation. Zacchaeus was a good one. A tax collector in this day, understand what that means. The Jews are living under the authority of Rome. Rome is an oppression nation. They're oppressing the Jews and holding them captive, if you will. Taking money from them, taking tax money from them. For a person to be a tax collector, what Rome would do, they would go into a Jewish community and they would contract out with someone who was willing in that community to take taxes from their own people. So Zacchaeus, being a Jew, working for Rome, is going to be seen by the Jewish community as a traitor. Okay? Now, as with all tax collectors, this really isn't an occupation that's supposed to make you filthy rich. But it does for some. Maybe I should say it did for some. Zacchaeus is one. And here's how they would get rich. Rome would say, for example, there's a community of 100 people. Rome would say, we need to get $1,000 from that community. As long as Rome got $1,000 from that community, they didn't care how much the tax collector was charging those people in that community. And so if I could go into that community and I could get $1,300, $1,500, $2,000, everything over $1,000 goes into my own pocket. And I can make myself rich off of my own people. And this is what Zacchaeus had done. This is why he is a chief tax collector. He's very good at it, and he's very rich. So you can understand then how the community would feel about Zacchaeus. This man is a traitor. This man is selfish. This man is greedy. This man is a liar. This man is a thief. This man is all of these things. And no doubt they probably thought this man is worthy of going to hell. And that's how they looked at Zacchaeus. But Jesus didn't. Jesus didn't see him that way. Jesus simply saw him as another lost soul that needed forgiveness and salvation. And that was all he cared about, where Zacchaeus was concerned. Jesus is different. And he wants us to be different too. He wants us to see people, not for all of their failures, not for all of their flaws, not for all of their hatefulness, not for all of their sins, but just as lost souls that need to be saved. That was Paul's perspective. You read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and the apostle Paul would say this, beginning in roughly verse 14. He says, the love of God controls me and compels me to go and preach the gospel to all people. And I'm paraphrasing now, but he simply says this. He says, I realize there are only two kind of people in the world. Only two. There are those who know Jesus. And then there are those who need Jesus. And that's all there are. That's all there are. So Jesus finds this man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, it tells us, is a small man. Naturally, he's a terrible human being. I mean, let's just admit the truth here. This is a terrible, terrible human being. But Jesus loves him. Oh, by the way, his name, listen to this. Having described his life to you, let me tell you what his name means. Zacchaeus means innocent one, righteous one. How's that for irony? Listen to this. It may be irony, but it's also prophetic. It's prophetic of the kind of person he would become once Jesus has washed all of his sins away and transforms his life. In verses 3 and 4, there is something about Jesus that just draws Zacchaeus to him. There's something about Jesus, just having heard of Jesus, he knows he needs to know this man. He needs to see this man. He needs to have an encounter with this Jesus. You understand, there is something in all of us that recognizes who Jesus is. Deep in our heart, whether our mind ever comes to the conclusion or not, I am convinced that there is something in our heart. The Bible tells us that God has placed eternity in our hearts. Every human being, whether we'll admit it or not, we are aware that there is something out there that is bigger than us. There is something more to life than just this world that we live in. There is something beyond it all that we can't touch, we can't see, but it is very real and it is there. And God has put this within all of us in order to ultimately draw us to himself. It lets us know that we need God in our lives. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I draw all men to myself. And so Zacchaeus is drawn to see who Jesus is. The Bible tells us in these verses, verses 3 and 4, he couldn't see Jesus because he's a little man and there's a big crowd. And so he ran ahead and climbed into a tree. Now you got to understand something. And I just wonder, in reading that, I wonder if something isn't already happening in the heart of Zacchaeus. Because what he does there is completely uncharacteristic of a man of his financial stature, if you will, a man who should walk, a very proud man, probably an arrogant man, a dignified man, would never run like this through the community, certainly would never climb up into a tree in order to get a look at someone. It speaks to me almost of a desperation to see Jesus. You know, when you read in the Bible and a lot of the stories in the Gospels, you see a lot of people that are desperate for Jesus. You ever notice that it's the ones who are desperate, they are the ones having the encounter. They are the ones seeing the miracles because they are desperate to see God and to touch God. I'm just telling you, our lukewarm, casual Christianity of 21st century America just doesn't cut it anymore. It just doesn't cut it anymore. And it's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to get desperate for Jesus and to get desperate to lay hold of Jesus so that we've got something real that we can share with the world so that they can know Jesus too. Zacchaeus literally goes out on a limb to see the Son of God. In verses 5 and 6, and I love this, notice in verses 5 and 6 that it's Jesus who takes the initiative in the story. Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. He runs ahead. He climbs in a tree. He wants to get a look at Jesus. But when Jesus comes, it's not Zacchaeus who calls out for Jesus. It's Jesus who calls out for Zacchaeus. Look at it, 5 and 6. Jesus came to that place. He looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. He knows Jesus, and he knows Zacchaeus by name. Now, we don't know how he knows him by name. Maybe he knows him by reputation. Or maybe he simply knows him by the Spirit. But it's Jesus who calls out for Zacchaeus, because listen to me. The story paints a picture of a man who's looking for Jesus, but underneath there's another story. And this picture of Jesus looking for Zacchaeus. Jesus tells us in verse 10, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save those that are lost." He came looking, and he found Zacchaeus that day. And notice the imperative in verse 5. "I must stay at your house." Parish phrase once again. Jesus says to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, you need me in your life." How many of you know we need Jesus in our lives today? We absolutely need him in our lives. We need for him to come and to dwell with us. And not just visit, as it says in verse 5, stay at our house. And then notice too in verse 8, the response of Zacchaeus. See, it's good that Jesus comes and it's good that Jesus calls out, but how many of you understand we have a responsibility to respond to the call of God when he calls? Because we still have a free will, and though he calls us all, not everybody responds to that call. Not everybody answers when he calls. Zacchaeus did. He hurried and came down and received him gladly. Jesus draws. Jesus seeks us out. Jesus died in our place. But we have to respond when he calls to us in order to find salvation. In verse 7, the people that are around, they sort of responded like Peter in the little story I started with. "Whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you doing? Who are you calling? Do you know this person? Do you know what he's done?" They say in verse 7, "He's gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." I am so glad that Jesus doesn't look at me the way people look at me. He sees me in a different way. Because he's different. He wants us to see one another in a different way and show them something different in our love. These people didn't realize that in the eyes of God, they were just as worthy of condemnation as Zacchaeus was. But Jesus is different, and he sees differently. Look at verse 9. My time is almost up, and I need to finish this. No, I got to do verse 8. Verse 8 is the key here. Verse 8 is the transformation. Verse 8 is the difference, okay? Zacchaeus has encountered Jesus, and now he is a different person. Verse 8, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I'll give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. Look at him. Here is the greedy, the selfish, the thief who has made himself rich on the backs of others. And now, rather than being so interested in finding more money for himself, now he wants to take his money and give it away to others. Instead of being blessed, he wants to be a blessing. Instead of taking from people, now he wants to make restitution for the mistakes that he has made in his life. I want you to see this. The text doesn't tell us that Zacchaeus repented. But the text does show us Zacchaeus' repentance, his change of life. He's a different person because he's had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus changes our lives, guys. If we've had a real encounter with the Lord Jesus, he changes who we are from the inside out. He gives us a new nature so that we can see the world like he sees the world, so that we can look at people the way that he looks at people, so we can love people the way that he does and treat them in a different way, because now we're different. Look at verse 9. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. Now watch this. Obviously, naturally speaking, he's a son of Abraham because he's a Jew, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. Paul would actually write in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7, and he would talk about faith. And he says that all who are of faith are the true sons of Abraham. And that's what Jesus is declaring in this verse where Zacchaeus is concerned. It's not about his natural birth. It's about his spiritual birth. It's about his faith. This man, Jesus says, has come to faith. He's had an encounter, and now he is a different person. So next week, I want to talk to you a little bit about being different. What that looks like for you and me as we live out the life that God has called us to, showing the world who Jesus is, by being like him and by being different. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you have a different perspective concerning who we are. And no matter what we've done or how long we've done it, you still love us. And your desire is that we would be saved and our lives would be transformed and we would be different, so that we can take the light of your love and your spirit to our world. Father, make us different. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.